Let's look to John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. And here's the title of the message. What matters is, do you believe? What matters is, do you believe? Remember, we even in this morning's message in John chapter 6, when we got to the end of the story, Jesus had told them, you know, they must believe on him. They must eat of the bread of life, the true bread, the living bread. But it's, the Bible tells us how some of them chose to walk away. Some of them chose to walk away. It was a hard thing that Jesus was asking them to believe. And some of them just chose to walk away. We have that choice to walk away or to follow him, to reject him or believe on him. And I ask you this afternoon, what matters is, do you believe? What matters is, do you believe? Let's stand together and read just a few verses here in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse number 1. John chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry, in other words, in the land of the Jews and so on, because the Jews sought to kill him. He went out for a while. He got out of that area for a little while because they were so against him. They were ready to kill him, and he was going to be ready to die at God's timing, according to God's plan. Go down to verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. What another interesting statement. Neither did his brethren believe in him. Go down to verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay or no, but he deceiveth the people. So you got some that are murmuring, you know, he's a good man, but so many did not believe. Go down to verse 31. And many of the people believed on him. And said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? We're finding some murmuring, some believing, some not believing. Go down to verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. But others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? See, some thinking that maybe Jesus is a prophet. Some say, no, he's got to be the Christ. He's got to be the Messiah. But then others question it and say, you know, could the Messiah ever come out of Galilee? Verse 42, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. So there was a division among the people because of him. What matters is, do you believe? You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else believes. It matters, do you believe? It doesn't matter what somebody teaches at university. It matters, do you believe? It doesn't matter what they may try to teach in school. It matters, do you believe? It doesn't matter what your neighbor believes. It matters, what do you believe? Do you believe? Let's pray together. Father, please help us today. And if there's someone here that is not thoroughly convinced in their heart, I pray you'd convince them today to believe on you, and to follow you, to trust you, to love you, to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. There was so much trouble and contention over who Jesus was. Was he truly the Christ? Was he the promised Messiah? Was he a prophet? I mean, who was he? Never has there been a man that has ever lived over whom there has been such a vast difference of opinion. Never. You know, people may have all kinds of different opinions about LeBron James. People may have all kinds of different opinions about Donald Trump. People may have all kinds of different opinions, you know, about whoever. Insert any name in there. But there has never been a person who has ever lived who there's been more of a division of opinion over who he was and what he did and whether he was good, whether he was bad. I mean, some loved him, some hated him, some would follow him, some would walk away from him. Some just think of him as a prophet. Some just think of him as a good man. Some believe in him as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. You know, and it doesn't really matter what everybody else believes. What matters is, do you believe? Jewish rulers and religious leaders of that time did not like his claims that he was sent down from God. because they did not want anyone minimizing their own power and authority over the people. You know that, you know what, the Jewish Pharisees and religious rulers of that day, they kind of liked being in charge. They kind of liked everybody being in subjection to them and their rules and their traditions of Judaism. They didn't want this Messiah coming in and kind of taking over. People believing on them instead of following Judaism. They didn't like that. Still today, there is contention. Still today, contention lies in what do people think of Jesus. Some people reject his claims to be the Son of God. Some people think of Jesus as just a good man who existed, but he's surely not God. Some people would just say that Jesus was one of the prophets, but nothing more. You even meet many Muslim people, they will tell you, well, he was just one of the prophets. They will not believe in him as the Son of God, like we do, many, many Muslims, unless they come to Christ and get saved. Some tried to deny him completely. Some blasphemed the name of Jesus. Some people hate the name of Jesus. That's what it's like in the world we live in. But no matter what some men say, Jesus is God, and he did come to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It does not matter who others say that Jesus is. And it does not matter what others believe. It only matters what do you believe. It's only going to matter one day, who do you believe that Jesus was? Did you believe in him as the Christ? Did you believe in him as the Savior? Have you trusted him? When you do face your God one day, when you face the Creator, it won't matter. Well, but so-and-so taught me this, or so-and-so told me this, or these other people. It doesn't matter what others said or believed. Do you believe? Do you believe? Recently, thousands of people sat in that hockey arena out in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. Thousands of people were in that hockey arena and in buildings around it, and millions and millions of people watching on television. They watched that memorial service on that Sunday night when 16 teenage hockey players or coaches were killed in that horrific bus accident. Their bus collided with a transport truck. And you know what? Even sitting in that crowd in that arena that night was our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. Hundreds of thousands of people, truthfully millions of people, all around the world were watching that memorial service on television or on the internet. Pastors and ministers from the town of Humboldt, they talked about Jesus being our only hope in times of grieving and sorrow and death. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you got to watch it, the gospel of Jesus Christ was shared in different ways and in different parts throughout that service. You know what? Amongst that thousands of people sitting there, including our Prime Minister, amongst the millions of people that just, you know, were, their heart was pulled by a tragedy and touched by a tragedy, amongst all those millions of people that watched, or those that sat there like our Prime Minister and heard the pastor speak, there may be some that blaspheme Jesus. There may be some that hate the name of Jesus. There may be some that don't believe in the name of Jesus at all. They don't believe in him as the Son of God. They don't believe in him as the Christ child. They don't believe in him as the Messiah, the one who died to save them from their sins. But listen, the choice is theirs. The choice is theirs. I choose to believe. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Savior. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to notice something else in this chapter. Go back with me to John chapter 7 and verse 7. John chapter 7 and verse 7. It says there, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. It was Jesus speaking. Let me tell you something. The world is many times hostile to Christ. The world is many times against Christ. Why is it that the world is hostile? Why do they get upset? Why do they get angry? Why do they not like the name of Jesus to be mentioned? It's because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you know what the light of the world does? The light exposes darkness. And people don't like that. People don't like that. Jesus Christ is the light. And you know what happens? When the light is turned on, it reveals everything that is wrong and dirty and sinful. People don't like it when the light is turned on and they like the darkness. Have you ever been like that? You're thinking of a situation? I know one of the families I grew up with, one of the pastor's sons slept in a room in the basement. So there was like almost no light in that bedroom, a little crack of a window, and it could be very dark down in that bedroom. You know, people like that, they don't like somebody coming in and flicking on the light. They like their darkness. But you know what? Far worse is when many times people don't like the light of the world. Why? Because we want to live in darkness. We like our sin. We want to hold on to our ways. And don't turn the light on me. Don't shine the light on me. People don't like being told that they're sinners. People don't like having their sin revealed. Because Jesus is light, it brings guilt to all those walking in darkness. And they don't want someone making them feel guilty. And so that's why some reject Jesus Christ. How sad that is, because listen, the reality is we know Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross to save people from their sins. He came to save people from their sins. Why do some people reject God? Why is it that some people call themselves atheists? Why do they do that? It's for the same reason that some people reject Christ. Many people reject God because they don't like the thought of a creator. They don't like the thought of a God who they have to submit to. They don't like the idea of having a higher authority, that being God, that they would have to submit to. People just want to do what they want to do and live for themselves and live in their sins. And that's why some reject God. That's why some reject creation. That's why some reject Jesus Christ and so on. Because you know what? If I'm going to accept that the Bible's true and believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, then that means there is somebody that I need to fear. There is someone that I need to submit my life to, and that's God. And many times people don't want to do that because they're happy to live in their darkness. They don't want the light turned on. They don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. Likewise, people reject Christ because Jesus is a very bright light. And they would rather walk in darkness and stay in their sin. Sometimes in a public area of a home where guests and visitors can see, people would rather have a softer, dimmer light installed rather than a really bright light. That's true in most people's homes. There's some areas now, maybe because we do a lot of work from at home or different things, we'll put some of those cooler, brighter lights now because they help you to see a lot better. But you know what? Many times in people's homes, they use the soft lighting gets used in different places or in public areas. Why? That people like the softer, dimmer light installed because you know what? People won't see all the dirt as much. Especially in a family home like ours. You know what? You won't just see quite how dirty the walls are, or quite how dirty the floors are, or quite how dirty everything is if there's softer lighting. Boy, bright light exposes things, doesn't it? It exposes darkness. It exposes sin. It exposes things that ought not to be there. Let me share with you a third thought from John chapter 7. A third thought. Go down to John chapter 7 and verse 37. No, it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. What do you believe? I shared with you a second thought how many times people don't like Christ, or the reasons why they reject Christ is because they don't want light exposing their darkness, light exposing their sin. They don't like the idea of having to submit to a God or submit to Christ in their life. Let me share with you a third thought from this chapter. Down in verse 37, it says this: in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Jesus is not only the bread of life, like we talked about this morning. He's also the water of life. And I want you to notice something, what it says. If what man, what does it say? If what man thirst? What does it say in that verse? If what man? If any man thirst. Who is any man? Anyone, right? Any man, any woman, and any child, any person, no matter who they are. It's available to any man. If you're thirsty, you can come to Jesus and drink. And He gives water that satisfies. If you have been drinking from the mud holes or the water troughs of this world, and you've been finding that they don't satisfy, that they don't quench that thirsting and that longing and that desire in your soul, then come to Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that satisfies. He is the water of life that satisfies. Some people just drink from the mud holes of this world. Like that water that they had to baptize in. Some people are just drinking out of that. And I mean in a spiritual sense. I mean in a soul-searching sense. When they're searching for something in their life, and people are searching for that which brings peace and joy and happiness into their life, and they want success in life, many times they're just drinking from what this world has to offer. But that will never quench the thirst in your soul. You can only have your thirst quenched by coming to Jesus. John chapter 7 and verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 6 and verse number 35. John 6:35 says this, and Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The book of Revelation, look there with me. Just the very end of your Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Hello there, Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 6. It says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Come and drink. Come and drink. In chapter 22, Revelation 22 and verse number 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Listen, Jesus is the water of life that will satisfy your heart and soul. You may search for it in all other places. You may search for that which satisfies. But Jesus is the one that satisfies. Believe on him. Love him. Live for him. And he'll satisfy it. That thirst, that desire that is in the soul of every man. And lastly, I want to share another thought with you. Turn back to John 7. Lastly, just a few things I'm just trying to point out from chapter number 7. Notice that Jesus makes mention that those who believe on him would also be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus makes mention that those who believe on him would also be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Notice what the Bible says here in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, and saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. After his death and burial and resurrection and ascension, he would be glorified, and the Holy Spirit would come, and people would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We receive that. We receive the Holy Spirit of God when we receive Christ. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what it says over in John chapter 14. He gives us his Spirit. Jesus gives his Spirit to those that believe on him. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. John 14 and verses 16 to 19. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 19 says, "And I will pray the Father," Jesus, in other words, "I'll pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus is saying this to his disciples because he soon would be going to the cross, and he soon would die and then be buried and resurrected and ascend. He'd go away. He wouldn't be with his disciples or followers anymore. But he says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to abide with us. He lives in us when we believe. Verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth." The Holy Spirit is capitalized. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let it get a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." God's Holy Spirit is with us always. He doesn't leave us alone. If you've believed on him, you're not alone. You're never alone. You've got God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who lives inside of you, who dwells inside of you, and he wants to be there with you to help you through every trial, every difficulty, every burden, every hard road that you go on. It's a great life knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Isn't it a good life knowing Jesus Christ as Savior? Aren't you glad you know Jesus, Eric? You sure have a far better life than anybody in the world that, you know, they're looking for something. They're thirsty for something. They're searching for something. You've got it. You've got Jesus. You've got the water of life that does satisfy. Don't worry about what anybody else believes. Understand that what matters is, do you believe? When Jesus dealt with crowds and multitudes of people, do you know the reality was that it was still only a minority of them that believed? You'd think, how could that be? I mean, Jesus, doesn't Jesus have to be the greatest preacher that ever lived? And he performed miracles for them to see? But so many still were not convinced? Don't worry about what anybody else says or believes or doesn't believe. What's only going to matter one day is, do you believe? Do you believe? Are you going to believe? It doesn't matter what your mom and dad believes. It's going to matter, do you believe? It's not going to matter what somebody else said. It's going to matter, what do you believe? Do you believe on Jesus? Will you believe on him? He's the one that can satisfy that thirsting, that quenching in your soul. Do you want the light in your life? The reason some don't want it is because they don't want their life exposed. They don't want darkness exposed. They don't want to have to submit to God. That's a mistake. Well, sometimes many people will get the idea that, no, I want my freedom. I want to live my life. No, far better than to be a servant of Jesus Christ than to be enslaved by our own sins or our own desires or our own just following after self. Because many times we're not following after self. We're following after the world. Far better to follow Christ. If you're thirsty, come to him. Believe on him. And if you have believed on him, realize what a wonderful promise it is, how John tells us there. He gives us his Spirit. His Holy Spirit is with us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd encourage us with some of these truths that we learn in John chapter 7. Help each one here to be one that believes, solidly believes, firmly believes in Jesus, and determines to love him and live for him, by faith to follow him. Thank you for the promise that you've given us and how you do indwell us with your Holy Spirit. He comforts us and he can guide us and lead us and teach us and help us. Help each one to realize that the best life they could ever possibly live is a life that's lived when we believe and follow Jesus.